You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 and Cape Talk.
Technobite with Aki Anastasio.
It is time for Technobite at this time. I think they say that is superfluous use of language. Eh? Technobite is brought to you by Lockbox. If you're a patient or a healthcare professional of any kind, you need Lockbox, the secure way to say goodbye to frustrating forms. Lockbox, your medical life simplified. Hello, Aki, who loves that my wry humor.
Hello, UCB. Yes, I'm actually going to do that Lockbox review over the weekend. You know,
oh, really?
If advertisers advertise on the show, you know, we don't often, you know, it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to talk about the products or review the products, but I met up with a doctor over the weekend, and he was talking to me about Lockbox and how amazing it is. So I said, I've got to try it out for myself and see what it's like.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know what it's like next week. But now, I know that you're a man that enjoys digital. Okay, you understand digital.
I'm addicted.
Embrace it.
Yeah,
you're addicted.
I've accepted that I'm addicted.
But then there's the other side to you that loves books and doesn't love the digital side of books. And you often talk about it on the show that you love the smell of the book, you love the feel of a book. So I thought that the story would attract your attention about. Mm. And they're calling physical books the new vinyl because, as you know, vinyl's made a comeback. But you know the numbers are a little bit deceiving. So I think that we will have to keep an eye on these numbers, but there's certainly a trend developing over here, and the sale of consumer ebooks plunged by 17% in the UK during 2016. This is according to the Publishers Associations, and we've seen the same kind of trend in the US, for example, that ebook sales declined by 18% in the first 9 months of 2016. So there's a correlation happening over here, because when you look at the actual physical books, they're up 7%, okay? Admittedly, it is off a low base because of what's happened in the past, but in the US, for example, paperback sales were up 7.5%. So there's definitely a correlation if you look at the UK and the US. I'm not sure what the numbers are like here in South Africa, but you know, a lot of experts are analyzing this, and they're saying that people are trying to limit screen time. People
that
are saying that they're doing all sorts of things. And in the UK, for example, and I found this quite interesting, that in 2016, there's a big research foundation called Ofcom, and they do all sorts of kinds of research. And in 2016, they discovered that a third of people in the UK had attempted to do some kind of digital detox in their lives, because we're all saying that there's too much of the screen time. So maybe it's linked to that. Maybe people are saying, well, I need to go back to doing something, less digital, for example. But the sale of e-readers, okay, between 2011 and 2016 has declined by 40%. So maybe we also saw a big influx because it is convenient.
It's sort of fascinating. I wonder what the real drivers are. I think all of these possibilities come into it. I also think, not to diss us as aspirant readers, that I think many people imagine that if they had an easy portable e-reader, they're going to read more.
Yes.
And maybe they found that's just not true. So I may as well abandon this thing and be honest that I'm only going to read one book on the long distance flight. So I may as well take my one copy.
Yeah.
Because people often thought, like, if I have five books on my e-reader and I'm flying to Las Vegas and back, I'm going to have read three books by the time I come back. Well, it's not true.
No, it's not true. No,
but we wouldn't have known that at the time. I think we were seduced by the possibility of easy, quick reads of many things in a small little easy to pack thingy.
And it's convenient. Let's be honest. You don't have to lug around all those books.
Absolutely.
But for me, the whole thing of physical books is the one thing that I love, and it like struck me over the weekend. The sense that you don't get with digital books is you can't see them.
Yes.
I love looking at my bookshelf.
Yes.
And I just love looking at all the books that I've read, and some of them I want to reference, and some of them I want to read again. That you don't get with an e-reader, right?
I was saying it to some of my dinner guests last night who were over that. I love my library because, you know, we have libraries that people can see the physical books. If I have some sort of device in front of me where I've downloaded five books and Aki comes over for dinner, you can't be intimidated because you don't know how many books I have downloaded. But if you see five books, then you go, oh gosh, this guy reads, eh?
Exactly.
And you can't show off.
Exactly. And if we had to like look at the top 10 places of the places you like to be, I think for me, a library gives me a wonderful sense of peace, of thought, of, you know, absolutely, learning that no other place gives. So that's it about books. The other interesting thing is that I've been playing with the LG G6. This is the LG's flagship phone that they introduced a few months ago. It's now available in South Africa. And this is getting a very heated market because later this week we're going to see the Samsung S8 being launched in South Africa as well. And the G6 is, I love the LG phones, and I'll tell you why I love them, because they've been quite solid in the way they've developed them. Okay, they lost their way a little bit with the G5, which is the previous one that was out. And if you remember, it was a very much a modular phone, and I think that people didn't quite understand the fact that you could pull things out and change and make everything. But LG went back to the drawing book, and they built on the success of the previous LG range, and they've come up with the LG G6, and it's a fantastic device. And if you hold it in your hands, this is the one thing I love about these phones, because let's be honest, a phone today is a phone. There's nothing that, there are a few differentiating features, but this particular device really feels comfortable and solid in your hand, and it doesn't slip out easily. What you're getting with a lot of the new phones that are coming out with curved screens and that sort of thing, they don't stay on your hand as well as they used to in the past. So you know, the form factor of the phone plays a great deal in this. The camera is impressive. It's got a 125-degree wide-angle feature. So if you're taking selfies, for example, if you're shooting a photograph from a distance, it gives you more distance to take the photograph in. It's a beautifully, solidly built device, and it's kind of come up in the market against the S8 and other similar high-end Android devices. And my last word to whoever's listening who's out in the market to get a new phone, don't overlook the LG G6 as your next upgrade phone, because it's really, really a great, great device. I really like it.
It's big, though. How big are your hands?
Well,
sorry, not to be personal.
Yes. I don't know. How big would you say my hands are?
It is comfortable in your hands, but I need both hands to... I'm trying to imagine whether I'd be able to use it.
It's a fabulous device. So I do have big hands.
Stop bragging. Let's put it in your hands. Let's see.
But look, you see, it fits comfortably in my hand.
It fits comfortably, yeah.
So what you're going to see
is... So not one for Donald Trump.
No. So it's got a more of a square design, as you're going to see from the new S8, which is the Samsung that's coming out. It's more curved. Also, beautiful design. I love that phone. And I suspect that with the leaked reports we're seeing from Apple, that Apple's going to go along the same route as a curved glass design. Although LG have pushed the bezel out as much, but it's not as curved as you're going to see the other devices.
Solid,
but certainly, if you look at the steel and the camera, it's really solid. A really nice device. And then Twitter, you know, you use Twitter extensively, and we all keep, you know, lurking along Twitter. We keep really giving an analysis of what's going on. We get a sense of what's the news is out there. So it's quite interesting the way that Twitter's experiencing a bit of a rebound at the moment, and a bit of a rebound because of Donald Trump. Okay. And Donald Trump is one that's on Twitter. He says a lot of stuff about Twitter. In fact, I've actually got a nice cut for you to play. It's a bit of a funny one. Can I use your pen for a second, please? I'm doing this off the cuff. I'm not sure which is the cut, and I think Eusebius, you'll enjoy it, which is the Trump one out of these two numbers. But you know that the journalist dinner, I don't know what they call it.
The White House correspondence dinner,
which Obama's been hosting all of these years, right?
Yes.
So
Until the sour dude had come along.
But this year they had a very interesting guy. They got this comedian to do it, and he was quite controversial. And I'm going to play you a cut, but he specifically speaks about Donald Trump, because Donald Trump, I think, is one of the reasons why Twitter's doing so well. Because if you ever followed, I don't follow Donald Trump, but look at Donald Trump's tweets. Whenever he tweets something, look at the comments that he gets. And I've never seen somebody get so abused on Twitter like Donald Trump does.
Haven't seen this. I think, who's the correspondent? I think it's Hasan Minhaj, isn't it?
Yes, Hasan Minhaj.
Because he was on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Exactly. He's the big guy with Trevor Noah. And he's also now got a new gig that he's going to be doing with Netflix. But this is what he had to say about Twitter and Donald Trump specifically at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
I get why Donald Trump didn't want to be roasted tonight. By the looks of him, he's been roasting nonstop for the past 70 years. Historically, the president usually performs at the correspondence dinner, but I think I speak for all of us when I say he's done far too much bombing this month. You know Donald Trump doesn't drink, right? Does not touch alcohol, which is oddly respectable. But think about that. That means every statement, every interview, every tweet, completely sober. How is that possible? We've all had that excuse, haven't we? Be like, I said what? No, listen, babe, I swear to you, I was hammered. That's not who I really am. What does Donald Trump tell Melania? Listen, babe, last year on that bus with Billy Bush, that's exactly who I am. He tweets at 3 a.m. sober. Who is tweeting at 3 a.m. sober? Donald Trump, because it's 10 a.m. in Russia. Those are business hours.
So anyway, it's quite a long one, but I watched the correspondents' faces, which is quite interesting, because some of the stuff that he said was like, oh, okay. But it was a bit of an awkward one. But
it was quite a bird. It was great.
Yeah, loved but I do miss Obama, though. But anyway, coming back to Twitter, and Twitter's showing a bit of a resurgence. They announced that they're going to be partnering with Bloomberg, and they're going to be streaming live video 24 hours a day. I'm not sure how they're going to do this, but they're basically, and Bloomberg has confirmed that they're going to have some kind of a channel on the Twitter feed where you'll be able to watch live TV, and they've partnered with Bloomberg, and Twitter has said that their ambitions will be to include more similar kind of feeds, and they're talking about sports feeds as well, and 24-hour news feeds. So really going with that news theme on Twitter, and it's I think it's going to be an interesting association together with Bloomberg, that you can watch live video, you know, within a tweet. I don't know how they're going to do that, but it's something that would attract me.
We're going to need more of those Dutch inventions to tell us to look up.
Yes. As we were talking about a digital detox, we go deeper into a digital detox, anti-detox, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, no, addiction. That's what it
addiction,
really is.
Addiction, exactly.
Yeah. I've got to pass on that book to you now, by the way, now that I've read it, the one that I told you is absolutely brilliant, called Irresistible, about technology addiction.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, by Adam Alter. It is insane. And as you say, for every attempt we make to go detox, there's a new technological immersion.
Absolutely. And even the US the US Association of Spine Doctors, whatever you call them, they've actually now determined that, you know, people who walk and use their phones and even sit in front of their phones start developing problems in their necks, because your neck is always slanted forward and it has an impact to your spine.
Jeez. Okay. Let me sit up straight
sit up
for
straight.
The rest of the hour,
chin
17
up.
Minutes after 11. Chin up.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
We'll do it again next week. Thanks for coming.